This morning, I opted to not preach the textual sermon that I had been working on. There is a lot of safety inside of a textual lesson. There's safety because you're in the scriptures, and that's a safe place to stand, right? It's safe that we can a lot of times preach textually and not have to show some of the emotion maybe that goes on within us. And we guys, we are not necessarily always known to show emotion. But this morning, I thought I would instead bring some thoughts that open myself up a little bit more to you. So maybe by my routine, some things that I do, maybe it's going to help you in your walk with God. So I ask you this question. How do you handle the Word of God? In my younger years, I used to come with the idea that if I needed to know what God wanted me to know for the day, I'd just open my Bible, right? And wherever my Bible fell open, well, that's what God wanted me to know. Wherever my eyes were drawn to on the page. I've matured since then. It is interesting at times. I haven't done that in a long time. But the thought went through my mind as I was going through some thoughts recently. And I thought back to how I used to do that. And I've really struggled this month putting together the verse of the week. I knew, and I said it last week, I knew what I wanted to do was to lay it out according to the card, the scriptures that we're in, because we're reading together. That's kind of what I always want to do, but I was really torn in a different direction. But I didn't know how to take care of that. And so I thought about just opening my Bible. I wonder what would happen. And I opened my Bible. And it fell open to Hosea. Actually fell open to the blank page. That's what my eyes were drawn to. Kind of matches where my mind was. But as I looked and I realized what Hosea chapter 14 is describing, a return, a repentance, and a redemption, that is so much on my heart right now. And I didn't know if I needed to be going that direction or go the direction that I thought I was going. And I don't know what I'm doing next week because I haven't gone through that. I'm not going to open my Bible and let it land on something, I'll tell you. But I thought it was interesting that what was going on in my heart, God put in front of me. Now, there's a danger in just opening your Bible and try to read something, right? We know that. We've warned against that as far as context. There's a danger to make sure you know what you're reading before you try and draw some conclusions. I changed a few years ago from trying to open my Bible and find that to, I open an app on my phone now, have for several years. And on there's a verse of the day. And I've kind of blended that old thinking of mine that whatever the verse of the day is something that God wants me to know. That I don't know what it is. And I'll tell you, there's some days that it just doesn't make sense. There's also days that in the moment it doesn't make sense. Within a few hours or within a few days, I realized I needed to recall that for the situation that I was in. Maybe to offer it to someone else. Maybe it was to offer it to myself. But it's interesting to me how many times that has played out in my life. Not only is there a danger in context, again, in just singling out one verse, there's also a danger in application. And honestly, the application part of this is what I struggled with in even bringing this lesson today. Because I certainly do not want to leave you with a wrong application to Bible study. That's not good Bible study. To just open up your Bible and land on a spot or to take one verse and look for the meaning behind that one verse. That's not by itself, it's not good Bible study. We know that. But I want to clarify that if you hear something that you question, then talk to me. I don't want to leave a bad direction for you, but I do want us to grow and learn and study together. I want to learn from you. Mike brought a point up in class this morning that I'm not familiar with. And he looked at me and asked me what I thought. And I said, I don't know. That's a different thought. I can't speak much to what I haven't studied, right? Well, I appreciate the work of the people who put that verse of the day out there for me, for you, for whatever they're putting it out there for. You ever think that the things that you do, maybe your job, somebody's got to get paid to do that, right? You ever think that maybe your job, what crazy is that? Your job could be to put the Word of God out in front of people that you don't have a clue how they're going to use it or what they're going to do with it or how they need it. I can tell you the times that the right verse at the right time is just powerful. We talk about it within our services. How we can not talk to one another about what this is. We have an idea of what the sermon is going to be, but how well God works all things together. I can tell you that I treasure those moments and I hang on to them because those are just little fulfillments that I can see. A few years ago during our men's study, the idea of meditation came up. Now, I've kind of prided myself on not necessarily looking like the image of someone that my mind conjured up when I think of the word meditation. I don't know what image you're thinking of, but if you hear the word meditation, I kind of have an idea of a man in the kind of sitting crisscross applesauce, right? Maybe in a robe, kind of humming a little bit. That's the idea that I had as I was going through meditation when that came up. But see, that's not it. It's just another example of how the world, how culture has hijacked God's words. And we've let that happen. I slowly began to meditate properly on the verse of the day. That's how I start my day. Every day. Been doing that for several years. The meditation, not several, but a few. And it's revealing as you walk through that process. So that's where I'm at this morning. I want to attempt to show you, Tim, I forgot to bring the clicker. If you'd grab the slides for me. I want to show you a few promises of God. In so doing, I hope that you can see the power of God, the peace of God, and also the love of God. So, to kick things off, there's probably dates that are in your mind, etched in our memories. If I use the date December 7th, you could probably say 1941. We all know, I suspect, what December 7th, 1941 is. How about September 11th, 2001? I would suspect that we all know what those two dates are, what they mean to us as Americans. What if I gave you the date October 12th, 1996? Charity knew what that date was, but I suspect not many of you do as to what it means to me. That was the day that a young lady and I stood in front of a group of people and we exchanged some vows. We made a promise to each other, a covenant. I like to jokingly tell everyone that in our wedding vows, you know, I sell candy for a living, right? So in our wedding vows, we said through thick and thin, those were the thin days, and now we're in the thick of it. Don't think that's quite what we meant. What if I told you the date November 9th, 2001? Now, that date probably doesn't mean to you what it means to me either, but that was the day that God provided us with a child. And I'm not going to go into the details of that. Many of you have heard those stories. But that's the day I became a dad. And that did not happen by chance. Okay? If I tell you the date December 16th, 2002, you might have an idea of what that date is, but that's the date that my blessings were doubled. If you go and you look at the Psalms and you look at what children are, they're a blessing. And God doubled mine. We all have significant dates in our heads. But very recently, January the 24th, 2023, is a new date that is in my mind. Some of you know what that date is, and some do not. That's okay. Especially if you're turning in on the video. I would not expect anyone to understand that. I just want you to know what that date was for me. That was the day. That was the day that my heart broke. That was the day that I found a pit in my stomach that I did not know existed. It was a devastating day. But it was there, it was in the devastation that I continued to find God's promises. I found His power, I found His peace, and I found His love, and I could rest in Him and His promises. When I woke up on January 24th, I started my day with 1 Chronicles 29:11. It said, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. You know, when I read that morning, I didn't know how much I was going to need that day. But I had it to recall, and I had to find a deeper understanding. I found a deeper understanding of all that God has given to me. Everything that He gave to me to protect, to use, to guide, to train, it's all His. It's all His, and I have a new appreciation for His kingship and for my submission to Him. It was a rough day. And it was a rough night. After a restless night, a lot of tossing and turning, I woke up early and I was met by these words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. There's promise in all of these. I can't take the time to walk through every single piece of it. I hope you can see where this is. God is so good. So Psalm 19. This is the end of David's declaration to God. And I needed it that morning. I needed to declare it myself. My feet are on the rock. I stand firm in you. Might also note that David understood meditation. I would say he was a tough guy. At Bible study that night, that was Wednesday, I was here physically. My mind was absent. But one verse stood out to me. Frosty used 1 Corinthians Chapter 10, verse 13. There's the verse. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. My mind stayed in that verse. My mind went to those who needed to hear that verse. It went to how I could put it in front of them. I know that it needed to be in front of others. I stayed in that verse all night. And when I woke up the next morning, I was greeted with another verse. Actually, not another verse. It was, actually, back up one, Tim. It was this verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation. Do you hear the promise there? has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I don't know what you do when you have that much realism hit you, but I just blurted out, okay, God, I'm listening. There's a reason that I've got this in front of me, and I dwelt on it for quite a while. I find sometimes if I look at things just a little bit different, go ahead and go to that next slide, Tim, because sometimes I need to insert my name in. So as I read this again, I'm going to use my name, and you, just in your heads, you put your name there as well. No temptation has overtaken Rick that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let Rick be tempted beyond Rick's ability. With the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that Rick may be able to endure it. I realized that I needed these promises. I don't know, maybe you get tied up in that too, that we hear something and we think of others when we really need to take it in to our own lives. But those promises, no. None. Nada. Nil. No temptation. Do you believe that promise? God is faithful. Do you believe that promise? He will provide. Yes, he has, and yes, he does. And I am grateful. I missed that the message was for me the first time I heard it. The next morning, I woke up to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now that's a promise, right? But as I just mentioned, Philippians 4:13 is a danger zone for just grabbing a verse. This is equally there. The whole context of this passage is about contentment. And God will supply every need. Contentment. That is a far greater promise than what we have made that into. The next morning I woke up to Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. You see that promise? Against the schemes of the devil. It was through my meditation there that I scrolled up. And I don't normally do that. But I scrolled up on the app and I saw the images that people have put together. And in fact, the next morning, Ray preached, or he taught class on Ephesians 6. Charity used this image. It's maybe a little blurry on here, but you can see it. There's the verse, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the schemes, the devil's schemes, according to this one. But it hit me like a ton of bricks. Do you see what we've done? It reminded me of a credit card application. My mind works in weird ways, I know that, but When you get a credit card application in the mail, does it not have a headline that is appealing? But the details are going to hurt you. The fine print. Look what we have done. We've made it a headline, but we've hidden the fact that the devil's schemes. We hid it for him. We've made it the fine print. The whole purpose of putting on the armor of God is that we can stand against the devil's schemes. And I wonder if we've just reduced God's promises to a coffee cup and a t-shirt. It looks real good, doesn't it? Hey, look at my shiny armor. There is power in the promise that he makes in this passage. Literally, the devil is in the details. The next morning, oh, sorry. I wanted to preach a little more on that one. We put on the armor so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. We cannot wear his armor and live how we want. We cannot wear his name or carry his flag. We cannot identify ourselves in him if we are embracing the schemes of the devil. I could go on, but we are going to move on. The next morning, Sunday morning, I woke up and I laughed a little when I read this. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. I really want to preach this. We have reduced the message. This powerful message, we've reduced it to attendance in the assembly. There's a reason that I had Tim read. Well, I didn't know it was going to be Tim, but Tim read a much larger portion of this passage. But if you're going to do any study on this verse, you have to at least go back to verse 22. A bare minimum of work. And if you do, you'll see three actions that we have to take. Draw near, hold fast, and consider how. I think that'll preach. Verse 23 states, "For he who promised is faithful." It's a promise, backed up by another promise. So encouraging to me. You know, that day was good for me. We had a day of worship together. The day was filled with a lot of encouragement. And I went home. And as I sat down, I was exhausted. I told Charity, don't talk to me. I just want to sit here and just numb out. I just need to rest. And that just couldn't happen. And so for me to just let you know where I was at, events happened that my heartbrokenness came back full fold. And I went to bed not just heartbroken, but I went to bed angry. Now I know we can find the scripture that says don't let the sun go down, right? But it was a situation that I could not resolve that night. And I went to bed angry. Now, I don't know about you. That's not the first time I've gone to bed angry. I also don't sleep very good when I go to bed angry. And I didn't sleep very good that night. When I woke up the next morning, I was still in a funk. I was still broken. And I was still angry. But I was met on my way to the kitchen with Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. For I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, I realized something. Made a discovery that morning while I was meditating on that verse. I was breathing. Some of you might wonder. Most of us do breathe. But I realized that I was breathing in the scripture. Now, I don't know if I've done that before or not, but I did then. As I read, fear not, in my mind, I inhaled through my nose. And I held it. And I paused, because there's a comma. And I exhaled. And I breathed in through my nose, and I read, for I am with you, and I held it, and I exhaled. I realized what I was doing about 3 or 4 breaths in. And I realized that I had a comfort in me that does not make sense. The anxiety, the feelings, the emotions that my mind still possessed is not where my heart was. I had a comfort that came through me. Well, that caused me to have to just go down a rabbit trail of what that idea is. And I will tell you that this is the portion of where I'm at that I just do not want to give you wrong application. I don't want you to hear this more than what I'm saying, okay? Here's what I found to go along with my idea of maybe where that comfort came from. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says God breathed the breath of life into man. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is God breathed. Now we know that's inspired. But the word is breathed. It's an interesting concept. It is certainly an analogy that I don't want to pass by. That if the air that we breathe in is necessary for our physical bodies, to live, then is Scripture not the very breath that we need for our spiritual lives? God breathed life into us and He breathed out His Word for us. We need to be in His Word. I'd love to take some more time to dive into this, but I'll just go ahead and move on, except for the point that I need you to know that I had all that in the morning, but it did not change the result of my day. Or maybe it did. But my day that day was filled with so many doubts. That darkness that held over me stayed with me. But I rested in God's promises. The next morning I woke up to Matthew 19 and verse 26. I'm gonna start moving through some of these a little bit faster. I can't go into all of them. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." There's a promise. You can go check that one out. The next morning I awoke very early. Really early. Most of you know that I'm an early riser. I like those early morning hours. I can do a lot of Bible study in those early morning hours. I often wake up and I often instantaneously am in prayer when I wake up. It's just the habits that I've created. This morning, that morning, I woke up the cold sweat, woke up in the middle of a dream that I won't share. A couple people know. It caused a panic in me. There was a lot of brokenness again. But I prayed before I got out of bed. Not unlike other days, but that day, that prayer, was pointed. I was met in the kitchen with Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. I think you can probably draw some natural conclusions there. I want to go to the next two verses because I couldn't stop with just those two. I went and looked some more. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. There was a lot of power in that passage to me. There was a lot of peace in that passage to me. But I opened my Bible that morning not just the app. I went to my Bible, which I don't often do, but I did that morning. Now I'm in my Bible. After I do this, I go and do my Bible study, and that is here, but I turned to Psalm 40, and I realized that last year when I was reading this passage, I wondered what it was that David was going through in this moment that he would write such pain, such promise. And I wrote one word down next to this passage, and it just says, Absalom, ? Last year when I read this, my mind went to a daddy's love. A daddy's despair for his lost child. I'm just going to read this again, but I'll let you do that. The next morning, I woke up to James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. They're going to come across the screen. For time, I'm not going to read these. But I want you to just, we're just going to pause at each one because you need to see the promise of each one. All joy when you meet trials, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The next morning, I woke up to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, always abounding, knowing my labor is not in vain. Promises. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. What a promise. 2 Timothy 1, 7. The next morning, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The next morning, I woke up to John 10, 10. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The next morning, I woke up to Romans 5, 3 through 5. Oh, there is so much here. I'm just going to say this. If you want to get better context for this passage, I went clear back to chapter 3 and verse 19. And even there, it required going back further. You know, if you see a therefore, you know, you got to back up. You know some of those catches. I want to ask you this. You've heard me say this before, but when you get a letter at home, do you ever open the letter? We don't get letters much anymore. Do you ever open that letter and just go to page 3, go down about 3 lines and just pick out a sentence? I don't know of anybody that would do that. If you pick up a newspaper or look at an article or whatever, do you just open it to the third, or get a new book and you just go to page 47 and drop down to the 5th line? Do you read anything else that way? Why do we treat God's Word so differently? the letter to the Romans. Like with any other letter, we need to keep it together. Don't just cherry pick. That's the caution I'm going to put out with what I'm bringing today. The next morning I woke up to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is, see the promise? It is sharper. We must rightly handle the word of God. Notice that it's discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It will expose our thoughts and our intentions. So I want to ask another question. Are you willing to be exposed? You know, Ray has said from during a couple of his lessons, and maybe more, but twice I remember asking anyone to come up and to lay out their life for everyone else. It's a safe bet that no one wants to get up and do that. And I've told Ray, I have to restrain myself when he does that. Because I am tired of living non-transparent lives with you. We are to be transparent. So, brother, if you ask that question again, I don't know. I may not be able to restrain myself, but the next morning I woke up to Ephesians 4:29. There is a lot that I have on this one, but I will just let you go and work on it in your own way. The next morning I woke up to Jude chapter 1. It has that in my notes because my Bible app doesn't know that there's not but just one chapter of Jude. Verse 20 and 21. A lot of promise in that verse. The next morning I woke up to Psalm 139 and verse 10. I want to read this one. Even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Do you see twice there its submission and promise? Oh, it's so beautiful when you draw in the whole message to the text. This morning, I woke up to a different verse. I woke up a couple times in the middle of the night, and I knew because I'd put this all together, and I've got a blank line in my notes because I didn't know what today's scripture was going to be. And you know, at 2:30 this morning, I thought about sneaking. When I woke up, whatever time it was, 5:30. I don't know, I felt like a kid at Christmas. I couldn't wait to open what the promise was today. After I opened it, in some ways, I wish that I would have waited to open it, to share it with you. But I'll tell you, I'm glad I didn't. Because it was exactly what I needed. Go ahead, Tim. It's Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. In all transparency, this is the thing that I struggle against harder than anything else in my life. Arrogance, pride, center of attention. This verse this is not the first time that this has come to my mind. And I'll tell you, there was a part of me not wanting to bring this lesson this morning because I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about the promises. I thanked God for really pointing it back out to me. I hope that you have seen some of the promises this morning. I don't know what the rest of my day is going to look like. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come in to my life. I don't know what challenges lie ahead of me, but I do know who. I know who is able to carry me when I can't stand on my own. I know who is able to hold me up when I start to fall. I know who is able to shield me when my enemy's darts are launched. And I know who is able to protect me when darkness closes in. I know who is able to comfort me when my heart is broken. My God is able. Where do you seek meaning for your life? Where do you seek identity for your life? Where do you seek promises for your life? I've heard several times people want a burning bush moment. Makes me wonder how many times I've ignored God's direction. I've argued like Moses argued. But I don't need a burning bush. I have the cross. And more than that, I have the one who defeated the cross. And I have His promises. The ones that He fulfilled and the ones that He has given to me. He's entrusted to me. So I'm going to borrow from Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a choice as to who we serve. I don't know who you're serving. Maybe you're trying to wear your armor and still live the life you want to live. Maybe you haven't fully submitted your life. And I'll just tell you, if you haven't fully submitted, you haven't submitted. I don't know where you're at today. I hope that in some way you can be honest, real, authentic with yourself. If it is something that you need help with, we want to be that with you as well. Authentic, real, transparent. This morning, if you need forgiveness, if you need to return, if you need repentance, to turn away from whatever it is, if you need redemption this morning, I pray that you will respond this morning. We do not know where our next breath comes. We do not know what comes after this. We do know who is on our side if we submit our lives to Him fully. If you need anything from us, would you stand and sing? Come forward as we stand and sing.